Good morning. Jim Walker speaking with Michelle Nanouche on the Christian Science Program. And Michelle Nanouche joins us from Paris, France, in person. And good morning, Michelle. How
good
are you?
Good morning. So good to be here.
And what a long flight from Paris.
Oh, I've been hopping all over the country, so it gets kind of cut up in little bits and pieces.
Well, that's good. That's good. I always like to fly out of New York as opposed to the West Coast.
It's a shorter hop.
Yes. Michelle is with us. Michelle, you are a Christian Science teacher. And before we even get into what you do, if we could talk about Christian Science, what it is, how it was established. But if you're a Christian Scientist, what are you?
As a Christian Scientist, right off the bat, you should know that I'm a Christian, a deeply committed Christian devoted to learning about, studying, understanding, and practicing what Jesus expected of his followers. And that includes many, many things: to live a moral life, to grow my spiritual understanding, live a moral life, and to be a blessing to those that are around me.
Now, the name Christian Scientist, where does that come from?
Christian Scientist was a term adopted at the point of the discovery of Christian Science, indicating one who practices this science. Now, you were asking, what is Christian Science? Well, Christian Science explains the healing work of Bible patriarchs and prophets, of Christ Jesus himself, of his disciples, of the apostles afterwards, and of early Christians for about the first 300 years, during which spiritual healing, healing through prayer, was a general practice among members of the Christian church. It was lost sight of as a general practice, although there have always been bright lights in history that have sprung up, who've had a natural, intuitive understanding of the laws of God that enable one to heal. There have been healers that, you know, we may know names of different saints, for example, who have a record of healing. But as a general practice, it was lost until it was reintroduced into more general availability, more general practice, by its discovery in 1866.
Or would that be a rediscovery, perhaps?
Yeah. When we talk about discovery, certainly when we're talking about a science isn't something that is invented. It's something that's always existed. It's like math. Nobody can pinpoint when mathematics was invented, but discoveries were made and continue to be made. Are they rediscoveries? Not necessarily. Oftentimes, we're discovering just a bit further into those laws that are already established. Now, when Jesus was walking the earth, he had an understanding of the laws of God and taught those laws. Not only did he practice them in healing, but he taught others to practice them and expected that his followers would do the works that he did. After this period where it was lost for a time, with its reintroduction, it was introduced with more of a general explanation of the actual practice, of how it works. And this was presented to the world in the form of a book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, which was written by the discoverer of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy.
Now, is her book to run in parallel with the Bible? In conjunction with the Bible? How does that all work together?
I would say that it works much like a key works with a door. A door is essential. It's what gives you access to the contents of the house. But if one is encountering that door and is having difficulty getting it open, a key can be very helpful to be able to unlock and open up so that you have access to what is inside.
So you're saying it's more of an interpretation?
I would say that it's more of a companion, and it does provide a lens through which you can read Scripture and kind of sort out. There's an awful lot of information in Scripture. There's also a lot of Many people look at the Bible and see it as a book very much in conflict. You've got one view of God as sort of a man on a throne, a very very human-like figure who is dishing out good responses or bad responses to one's prayer. And then you have another view of God, which is this universal principle of good that never changes. So it can appear that there's conflict. What science and health helps one do is to exercise the spiritual sense to kind of separate the human perspective from the divine reality that Scripture talks about.
Now, Mary Baker Eddy appeared and came with the book when, and okay. How did she present it?
It was rather a journey. As a young girl, she got her start in the early 1820s. She was born to Orthodox Christian parents in the Northeast United States in New Hampshire. And in that time period, and in her family in particular, prayer and Bible study were the very fabric of daily life. Mm-hmm. So as a young girl, she grew up with a love of the Scriptures and was encouraged by her family to read the Bible, to study the Bible, and to find God, to look for God in the Scriptures. She was a very spiritually minded person. And because of being spiritually minded, she tended to attract into her experience as she grew into adulthood people who were struggling, people who were ill and were hoping that she would pray for them. She prayed for herself. She prayed for others. But she was also interested in helping them make some breakthroughs on a lot of these health issues. So in her early adulthood, she was very interested in the burgeoning sciences of her day. For example, homeopathy had been around for 20 or 30 years, but was beginning to take more of a root as a general practice. She studied homeopathy and became a practitioner of the method for a time, as well as allopathic medicine, which was having new insights, and a number of what we would consider today to be alternative health therapies. She looked into those, as well as healing through mental means. In her foray into this area of conventional and alternative health, she would eventually abandon each one of these methods because she wasn't satisfied with the consistency of the results that she was getting, either in her own experience or in helping others. But what she did gain from it, and what tracked later into her writings on Christian Science, she observed in these various methods that the morality and the spirituality of a healer, regardless of the method they were practicing, influenced their outcomes. The more morally behaved, the more spiritually minded they were, the more likely they were that their treatment was to be helpful to their patients.
Now, one of the questions that always comes up, one of the first questions, is, are those who teach Christian Science anti-medicine or anti-doctors?
You actually, in Mary Baker Eddy's writings, you will not find that sort of tension that has kind of grown up around in the cultural understanding of Christian Science. In fact, she herself, because of her own experience in the medical end of things, she had a great respect for what she called the higher class of physicians, those that were devoted to easing the suffering of others and who were humanitarians, who were in this work because they wanted to bless. Now, she didn't see Christian Science as being in conflict with medicine. She rather saw it as a fresh start from a different premise. In fact, she saw Christian Science as just a further, sort of a next step away from matter as the basis for finding healing to exploring the whole patient, including and based on their spirituality.
Now, in order to follow the teachings, does one have to be a believer or a reader of the Bible?
I would say that among the people that I work with, I mean, if I'm going to speak from my own practice of Christian Science, those that I work with to help to find healing, I would say about 75 to 80% do come from some religious tradition. There is that element of faith that's playing in. But the other 20 to 25% are simply people who want to feel better and who have exhausted other means and are coming to a Christian Scientist because they would like to begin, maybe to take the next step in exploring their spirituality.
So could a non-believer be healed?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, my husband, I've been married twice, and neither one of my husbands were Christian Scientists. My current husband is not a practicing Christian Scientist, but if you were to ask him, is he healthier than he's ever been before? Does he get over things quicker than he ever has before? I think he would probably attribute that to the prayers of his wife.
Where does one really start with this? Is it getting the belief? Is it working with a Christian Science teacher? I mean, this sounds like it could be attacked in different ways. Attacked is probably the wrong word, but
it's so individual. It's so individual. You know, even before Science and Health was written, even before Jesus walked the earth, there were people that naturally, intuitively had a grasp of the nature, the true nature of God as spirit, not just as a spiritual being, some separate being, but as spirit that fills all space. And they were able to heal based on their understanding of God as the source, of God as creator. So did they need classroom teaching? Did they need to talk to a Christian Science practitioner that would maybe come ages afterwards? No. But we do have these tools available to us now to support someone who would like to further their discussion. When Mary Baker Eddy first wrote Science and Health, this came about, her writing of the book came about as the result of a 9-year period during which she was devoting her full attention to plumbing the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation in order to find, to plumb that rule, that explanation, what it was that Jesus knew, what it was that he taught that enabled people to heal. So during that 9-year period, she was developing experience through healing others, through teaching others. You know, she'd never had the intention of just becoming a bright light kind of exceptional healer, famous in her own right. Her entire view was that everyone should be able to have access to what Jesus expected that we would be able to do. So when she at the end of this 9-year period, she had put together enormous notes and research and evidence from her own practice and compiled it together in this book, which she expected was going to do the work. She would put the book out into the world and people would begin practicing it. What she also expected that Christian Science would be adopted by the general Christian faiths, who she recognized were doing a very good job on handling the sin aspect of things, but what they weren't really proving on a consistent basis was their ability to heal the sick by following Jesus' teachings. She saw it as a completion of the revelation. So the system then just simply developed. A church was established because people no longer had places to worship when they began practicing Christian Science. They weren't welcome in their former churches. They needed a place to worship. And the practice, that is to say, having certain individuals who are really working on this as a scientist, really looking to prove these laws for themselves and to help others, began to be known. So these are some of the resources that are available. But it starts with the book. I would always recommend that someone go to the source of the discovery, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures.
Now, can you give me some examples of where Jesus talked about the healing power of prayer? It'd be interesting if you can tie that in through some of the Bible verses.
Absolutely.
And I have a lot of questions, and hopefully we have the time. Yeah. But that would be, you know, it's interesting. Is there a Mary Baker Eddy Museum anywhere?
There is, as a matter of fact. In Boston, there is a museum that I would, well, there's a museum and there's also a library, the Mary Baker Eddy Library for the Betterment of Humanity, where anyone can have access to her original writings and her research, and, you know, there's just a great body of information that's been gathered there. Yes.
Yeah, that's always interesting to find out where the light went on, as, you know,
yeah.
she...
Yeah, and in fact, I think if you can always Google Mary Baker Eddy Library and get the website, but an awful lot of this information is available just simply by going on the web. It isn't necessary to go in physically into the library. You were asking, though, about the Bible and the link to what Jesus taught about healing. We have in the Gospels... four different views of Jesus' life and Jesus' teachings. And there are stories and experiences and things that he said that overlap in these scriptures. And there are, so the information often overlaps, but depending on who is presenting, you have things organized slightly differently. Now, in the book of Luke, for example, I think of Luke, his experience was as a physician. So we've all heard the joke about doctors and their lousy handwriting on prescriptions. His organizational method was a little bit kind of here and there. So we find that in Luke's teachings, you really have to look to find the various stories are spread, teachings are spread over a wide swath of his writings. Where if you go to Matthew was a tax man. He was an accountant. You get the sense that this guy worked out in notebooks, that he just pulled things together. So in the Gospel of Matthew, you have the Sermon on the Mount, Christ Jesus, what we know now as Christ Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's a compilation of teachings that didn't necessarily occur in one place at one time, as we see in other Gospels. It was actually spread out in different places at different times. But it's his teaching specifically on healing, the preparation of the life of a healer, the methodology of healing, given in the best example that we have is the Lord's Prayer, where in Matthew we're told, "And after this manner pray ye." We understand that when Jesus is talking about this manner, it's not the words of the Lord's Prayer. What you pray as the Lord's Prayer and I pray as the Lord's Prayer may actually be slightly different depending on what English translation we're using of it. There are many Bible translations. There are common ways of praying the Lord's Prayer, but there are some differences. It's not the words, but it's the manner. What Jesus is teaching is methodology. The question that preceded that in another gospel was the question from the disciples, "Will you teach us how to pray, how to do the works that you do?" And this methodology, Jesus gave in a very concise way. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, the very first chapter is the chapter prayer, which goes into kind of sorting out what's effective and helpful in prayer, and what's not so effective.
Now, is effectiveness tied to how strong you believe?
Is effectiveness tied to how strong you believe? You know, faith is an important element in healing, and it doesn't matter what method you're using. Even research has gone into the positiveness, you know, kind of the positive thinking approach under medical treatment. If someone goes in full of faith that they're going to benefit from treatment, they have a tendency to experience better outcomes. That would be what we would consider a human faith. It's a humanly generated hope, desire, kind of mixed together in the form of faith. The Bible says that the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. But the word that's used and translated as faith is the word pistis in that chapter. It's from the book of James. It's the word pistis, which is in its original root, the Hebrew root, is not a human-generated faith, but it's a it's a faith that comes from God to us. In other words, it's what is it's an understanding, a confidence and an understanding that is built in us. In other words, it's the ability to discern what is true.
Now, but if you have an individual who is, let's say, desperate,
yeah,
and they may not believe, but they say, okay, I'm going to try this. This is hopefully the last thing I try. Do they, you know, can it work for them?
When one is asking for help, there is a form, it may be very subtle and they may not even be that conscious of it, but there is a form of consent that is being given to work within, to accept the premise of the treatment that's being given. If I were to put it in a different context, I would say, would a young child who doesn't know how to add be able to turn to someone who's experienced in adding and get the calculation correct in the list of numbers that they have by going to somebody who is more experienced in it? Yes, they would. Do they have to have the understanding themselves? No. But do they have to be willing to hear that answer, willing to go to, willing to turn to someone who has that expertise? It's helpful. Otherwise, they'll just sit there in the dark with their numbers and not know what to do with them. But everybody has the capacity to learn it. That's the beautiful thing about a scientist, about Christian Science, and any science really, is that it's all based on our interest, our desire, our recognition that we have a right to know, and our thirst for knowledge. The root word for, or the root definition of a science is simply true knowledge.
When did the quote-unquote light come on for you or shine on you?
Our family was introduced to Christian Science through my father's healing of acute depression when he came back after World War II. The neighbor of my grandmother was a Christian Scientist, and she found out that he was in very bad shape and was asked to pray for him, and he was healed. Now, that introduced our family into Christian Science. When I came along many years later, I was brought up attending a Christian Science Sunday school where I was taught the scriptures. And I was also taught that prayer, that when Jesus prayed, healings occurred, and that he expected that his followers would practice the same method that he did. The turning point for me was when I was 12 years old. I was living right here in Phoenix, Arizona, was mowing the lawn, and I stepped on a board that had a rusty nail, and it impaled my foot. Now, I lived on 3rd Avenue in Virginia. St. Joseph's Hospital was on Thomas. That's 4 blocks away. I could have gotten myself taken to that hospital very quickly. And yet, when you're standing there in an emergency situation, I don't care how close 4 blocks may sound, 4 blocks felt really too far away for me. I wanted help in that instant. Now, I don't know how much of it was really a conscious thought, but it was a testing moment for me, for everything that I had learned up until I was 12. And I have to tell you, I was an uncooperative Sunday school student. I didn't want to be there. I made all the fuss that I could to not be there. And I spent most of my Sunday school mornings with my head on the table just to annoy the teacher. I wasn't the most attentive pupil, but stuff apparently got in, because at that moment of emergency, I turned with all of my heart to some of these, just these basic ideas about God being with me, about my substance being spiritual and not material. This mess that I was looking at my foot was not me. I remember having a very concrete sense that I'm here and that is not me. Now, of course, my mom was on the scene, and she too could have scooped me up and taken me to the hospital. Excuse me. But in my first moments of these prayers, something happened, and that is the pain, the extreme pain that I was in, stopped, and I felt like something was happening here. I wanted to keep working at this. And so she gave me a little bit of space to continue to pray for myself. I'm sure she was praying as well, but I wasn't too concerned with her. I was just focused on me and this situation. And so she gave me a bit of space. She cleansed the wound. She wrapped my foot, bandaged my foot, and I continued to pray. I was not in pain. That evening, typical 12-year-old, I unwrapped the bandage, took a peek to see what was going on underneath, and saw that the wound had closed, top and bottom, the wound had closed, and wrapped it back up, went to bed. The next morning when I awakened, took the bandage off, and there was no more wound. It was healed. It was sometime, maybe a few weeks before the scarring that was there was gone. The indication that something had happened was gone. But it was healed. I was able to walk normally, never had a problem with infection, never had a problem with tetanus. I was healed. It was such a profound experience because it was mine. It wasn't an imposed thing. It was my search. It was my urgent need. It was the unfoldment that came to me. It was my healing. I soaked up Sunday school from that point forward. I was the best student. I was the most attentive. I wanted to understand what happened to me. I wanted to understand how this kind of thing can happen. It redirected my life. I was geared towards being a music teacher. At that point, that was my entire dream. I was a trombone player and I was in the band and I was heading towards being a music teacher. But instead, over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, my direction changed entirely, and I ended up training to be a Christian Science nurse, one who gives non-medical physical care to someone who's relying on prayer through healing.
Now, we've got about 2 minutes left. You're going to be speaking today to the Christian Science Church here in Green Valley. Generally, what information do you give them? Because I can tell right away you probably could talk for hours and hours.
Ooh, yes,
and
I could.
Hours.
Yes, I could. Let me just correct something. I'm not actually here to talk to the church. I'm here by the invitation of the church to answer the community's questions about Christian Science.
Okay.
So the focus of this lecture is really on the broad community, and it's one of the reasons I'm grateful to be on the radio today. What I will be sharing in the course of this particular talk, finding health, is that connection between what we understand and believe about God and how that affects our physical health and well-being. I'm going to give examples of a healing of grief after the sudden passing of my first husband. I'm going to give another example of the healing of a lump in my breast. Our family had a history of breast cancer, and it put a stop to the epidemic of fear and disease that was wreaking havoc on the women in our family. So it's very experience-oriented, but I'm going to be giving some of the background and some of the technique of what it is that Jesus teaches that can render prayer that effective.
Michelle Nanouche, Christian Science teacher, and speaking today at the Christian Science Church in Green Valley.